This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
We started out with a little Arthur Fiedler there. Remember him? I saw something earlier. I saw Carmen, Dragon, and the NBC Orchestra. I forgot. My goodness, that was back in the 30s, you know. It was back in the days of Frankie Martin and Tonight We Love and all those.
That dates you, John.
Oh, it does. I was very young when those were out there. The only reason I even knew those was because I used to play those at SIU on the student station when they say, here's take a music break, and it was all ragtime and stuff like that. So that's how I knew those. I did not sit in front of that Philco radio with, you know, at home.
And once you learn that, you don't forget.
This
is trivia.
You don't forget it, that's for sure. So, as you can tell, our guest is Litchfield Mayor Steve Daugherty. Stopped in today to visit a little bit about some year-end. I'd love to say gloating because there were a lot of good things, but there were also, we had to deal with some issues, so challenges and good things, and a lot of promise for the year ahead. So, jump right in.
Oh, absolutely. I think very early this year we're going to finally succeed in getting our high-pressure gas line extended across the interstate. We have many several companies interested in locating there, which will bring some high-end paying jobs. So that's what we, you know, what our initial intent was, and it's finally coming to fruition. It was started before I was elected mayor, and it's been ongoing. You know, it takes a lot of money and a lot of planning.
Oh, right.
And then a lot of reaction when things aren't they don't go as planned. So anyway, we got that coming. I think the YMCA is moving forward. They are looking at a location that I think will be very very good for the community. Let's put it that way. Very accessible, and we're moving ahead with our soccer park.
We'll probably
start that in the next year or so. We got our second grant for that, and always looking for more free money and money we can match with our own funds. But things look very good there. We were able to just pass a tax levy that will not increase taxes again for the 10th year in a row, property taxes. And we continue to operate lean and with a balanced budget. And I think a lot of good things are coming with the money flowing down from the feds and the state. And we have their ear. And we definitely will do what we can to grow our community and the county.
The interesting issue right now, of course, is our labor force and the number of jobs that are going unfilled and the situation with the restaurants having a hard time keeping their established hours because of people. Do we see any light at the end of the tunnel on that yet, or is there anything we can do to make that better?
I think when the money supply finally runs out, I think we'll see an improvement. But there's just way too much free money at this point. And with the school basically starting in second grade, I know that's a long way off, but we are excited to hear that they're starting to teach not only college prep, but work prep. And with the Innovation Center, the trade school basically, and five other school districts bought into it, we're going to be bringing people from many different areas to Litchfield to learn a trade. And I think that will help in the long run. You know, next month, I don't know. It's kind of hard, but I think a lot of this money, unfortunately, went to big screen TVs, and in some ways, maybe it's affected our drug problem in town. So, and in the county, I should say. So I'm thinking that maybe people will finally change an attitude and go back to work and be proud of what they're doing when they do go back. So,
well, we certainly hope so. There's no doubt about that. The other interesting thing, from what we've noticed, saw the notice that the Chamber of Commerce was going to make a big change next year.
Yes.
And that's going to be a big change, but it doesn't necessarily sound any sort of death knell. It just needs somebody else to step up.
I have been advocating that for a long time, that the Chamber needs to pay more attention to their membership growth, and communication between membership and that kind of thing. They will now be able to share information, whether it be grant possibilities for people or other economic type information that hasn't been done to extreme anyway in the past. And I've always been a critic of the fact that the Chamber, although it's been good for the community, has been a party planner, and that doesn't really do anything for the economy, and that and because of that, because everybody expects the city or some form of government or an association like the Chamber to do everything for them, we've lost all of our volunteer groups. You know,
yeah.
We don't have Rotary, we don't have Zana, Women's Club, JC's, all those, you know, that used to step up and do parades and haunted houses and fundraisers and that kind of thing. We just don't have volunteerism anymore. So the Chamber is going to stop sponsorship of some of those activities, but at the same time, they'll work with volunteer groups that consider those to be a necessity for the community for that transition. So I'm happy to see the change coming. I think it would be better for the economy, and it will get more people involved in the community, I believe.
Well, I think that's good, because I think for Party in the Park and more recently the Art in the Park, which was such a wonderful thing,
yes,
for that to go away would be kind of sad. I mean, to a certain extent, was the tourism a director involved with much of that at all? Was the fact that we haven't hired one yet and still looking, is that a possibility of part of the reason for not doing it, or was it totally separate?
No, the tourism department is the focus there is to put heads in beds, to bring people to our community. The focus of the Chamber, again, should be the community, businesses. And I really hope that we get some volunteer groups to step up and really, you know, enjoy the fact that they can do something. You know, you see all the criticism after a party in the park or some other activity. You've got your complainers on social media, but they never volunteer to help out. So, need to step up, you know, and if they want to see something positive done for the community, be a part of it.
Is that a big deal to get to get some of those volunteer groups back? I mean, like you say, Rotary was and now isn't. Zonda was and now isn't. Getting those groups started again, does it just take somebody to say, hey, let's do it, and get associated with the national organization and restart a charter, or what needs to be done?
I would think that's what it would be, but it would also take a core group to get that done, and a purpose. You know, you have to really be dedicated to, you know, if it's going to be Zana, you got to be dedicated to their efforts and that kind of thing. Now, we do have, you know, the local Moose, the VFW, they do benevolent things for the community. I'm probably going to leave some people out, but there are a few there. But to expect, you know, an aging VFW group to do parades and that kind of thing it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that I thought too.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be great to say, we'll put those all together. Well, there's not that many under 40 years old in those.
That's right.
So, and again, benevolent organizations are an aging group, like you said, all of them.
Yes.
So there's not that many 25-year-olds who belong to the Eagles or the Moose or, or you know, whoever else. We don't have the Elks anymore. So you're right. The volunteerism is not there like it once was.
Yeah.
So how do we do this, people? We need to.
Well, I think it goes. It's going to have to go back to the schools, I think. And the fact that I really think without such a hard effort, dedicated effort to make everybody college bound, that give them a trade that they could be proud of with a good wage. And I think they're going to be, feel more a part of the community at that point. Whereas if we've been pushing, all of our high school kids to, you know, the end result to go to college, and those that weren't able to financially or, you know, grade-wise, whatever, I have to think they came out feeling a little bit of failure. And we just didn't offer more at that point.
Yeah.
And now they'll be offering that. As a matter of fact, I came up with the idea. We used to have a good-sized volunteer fire department, and they were a brotherhood, all about the same age. We're going to start looking for volunteer firemen in the senior class. And that'll be a part of the Innovation Center. We'll be doing the training in-house at our fire department. And, again, if we can get all five school districts to buy into that, we can help out in other locations, too.
So, oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, yeah. And then they can, you know, those that are really interested can move on to EMT classes and paramedic classes. And many communities like ours, we will pay for the paramedic classes.
Hmm.
So
that's great.
Yeah.
We're talking to Steve Dougherty, Mayor Litchfield. We'll be back and talk more right after these messages. 24 minutes after 4 o'clock, our guest is Steve Dougherty, Mayor of Litchfield, and also, of course, owner of the West Side Cinema and the Stadium Cinema in Jerseyville. We're going to talk movies in a few minutes, but one more very important thing regarding the city he wanted to mention.
Yeah, thank you, John. We're going to start a very intense effort to clean up properties. I've given the task of identifying properties that have inoperable vehicles, and we've done our inspections of all four wards, and the advisory letters will be going out next month, and asking for compliance, which is what we ultimately want. We don't want to have to write tickets and issue fines and court dates, etc. It's expensive for the city to do it, and it takes people away from their money and their jobs and that kind of thing. So, again, we're looking for compliance, and we just there's too much infraction or infractions on city property. Let's put it that way. We've got motorhomes, we've got pontoons, we've got trailers, all kinds of things parked on city property or in the yard and visible. You know, there are places in town that have multiple pontoons and motorhomes and trailers and this kind of thing. And I don't know if that's I don't believe it's a benefit to the community or your neighbors. So we all need to develop a little bit of pride in what we, where we live, and have some respect for our neighbors. So that's our effort. I've been harping about it for 8 years, and it's time to get it done. So the next phase will be more building maintenance and that type of thing and trash, and we'll be hitting all of those aspects at that time. So we're going to be very busy. We are going to beg at this time for compliance, but we will follow through. And it's not going to make a lot of people happy, but I'm sure there are a few that will see the need for it and will welcome the change.
Well, you know, we just went through a city cleanup in the fall. We've been doing the leaf pickup now, and I guess that's about done, if not totally done.
Yes.
And then there will be another cleanup in the spring, we assume. So, yeah, I guess it's time to get that letter out.
The opportunities are there. I'm also talking to DC Waste about recycling cardboard. We may have an area dedicated to that. So recycling of other materials is just not that profitable at this point. So we may get that done in the next couple of months. So we're trying to do all the cleanup we can with no cost to anybody.
Recycling cardboard is probably a good idea because there's probably never been as much cardboard out as there is now.
With Amazon stickers on them.
That's right. Yeah. And between that, I remember many, many years ago in Mount Vernon, a young man who started a cardboard recycling business, and it made him a very wealthy man. So, I mean, there is a benefit to recycling cardboard.
There's an incentive there.
Yeah, that's for sure. So the cleanup, the letter is going to go out soon, you say?
Well, we're going to give the inspection reports to our building and zoning department, and they'll make a tour to see if there definitely is a zoning ordinance infraction, and then the letters will go out.
Okay.
So, and there will be time to for compliance. Depending on, you know, how big an issue it is. I mean, if it's garbage and drawing vermin and all that type of thing, that's a health and safety issue. That's got to get done right away. Other things like tarps on roofs, plywood in windows and doorways, there's health and safety issues there too, where a fireman can't readily access a building if necessary. And we've had several fires lately. Mm. So, we're looking at that too, with health and safety issues. So they'll be kind of prioritized, but the letters will be going out. They'll be sorted to make sure that they are actual infraction and kind of, each letter will be personally designed to, relate to the actual, problem in that area. So
I know you're still dealing with derelict properties. That's an issue right now too.
Yes. We have several more to demo this the next several months, including some mobile homes and that type of thing. And what people don't realize or don't bother to follow is that if you are living in a mobile home in Litchfield, you have to be the owner of that home. They're not available for rent by ordinance. But I would say a majority are that way. We've tried to stop it by, we catch it when people come in to turn on their water. But sometimes water is included with the rent, so there's no changeover. So anyway, and it would be nice if it'd be way expensive, but it'd be nice if we could, every time a rental unit, whether it be a home or a mobile home or even an apartment, every time they change residents, it'd be nice if we could go in and do an inspection for health and safety issues. So, that's just to keep people safe.
Yeah.
So, our fire department, I might say, is, making business inspections, and again, it's all advisory, all giving the proper ways to operate your business, leaving aisles open and having signage lighted and all this kind of thing, and again, looking for compliance, not writing tickets, but we certainly don't want a fire downtown or even a strip mall that's going to affect many businesses and many jobs.
No, true. So. What is the situation with the police? You've added some new policemen in the last, some people have retired. And
we've had several retirements to the point where we have a very young force now. As a matter of fact, I asked Chief Riker to put together a picture catalog with names so we could know who we're dealing with, because they're just about the whole force has changed.
The whole force has changed.
Yeah.
Do they get out and meets people, mingle at all? I've always wondered about that.
You know, we're hearing that they do, and we're hearing good things about our new young police force. And we have an officer in high school now, in middle school too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he goes to the other grade schools occasionally. But, you know, we have that presence, and it's fortunate that we do. I think it gives a different attitude to the community, and the kids seem to have a little bit more respect for and a little more understanding as to what a policeman is necessary for and what their job is. So, you know, in that way we are. But, you know, I know Chief Riker has been active in the community with the ball teams and going to visiting schools and that kind of thing. So, and I know the fire department's always out there, you know, doing special things. So,
let's talk about the soccer park for a minute. You said you got a second grant.
Yes,
it's moving forward.
Yeah, we're waiting for the receipt of the grant. We got notification that it's coming, and as soon as we get that, then we can move forward with purchasing the property from the bank. From a bank in Springfield, and then at that point, the initial grant we can accept that will start with some of the infrastructure improvements, and then we'll be looking for more funding. We also plan to use tourism funds and TIF funds to get the project done. But it's about a $4 million project at this point, and it's not going to have the best grass fields, but it'll have, you know, workable ones to the point where we can do tournaments, regionally and, bring in a lot of tourism, a lot of, dollars to our restaurants and our motels and gas stations and that kind of thing. So, it'll enhance the tourism.
Have you had a chance to, I'm not saying you personally, but has anyone involved had a chance to reach out to the new soccer club in St. Louis to ask for some sort of connection or an opportunity?
No, that's a good idea. We've been speaking with the local group that is a traveling group and the other local group that's in community group. So they may have those connections and go forward with it. The YMCA at this point is interested in helping operate the park.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and that's what they do normally before they even go into a community is do that type of recreational projects first. So it's right up their alley, and it certainly isn't part. The city will own it, and we have to own it, and it has to be a park for at least 20 years in order to qualify for these grants. So we certainly want some success there and some experience from the YMCA and these soccer leagues here locally will help in that because we don't know anything about it.
Well, yeah. We're fortunate with having some subgroups that are involved with sports in the community. Litchfield Baseball Incorporated, for example.
Yeah,
you got the park board that takes care of the swimming pool and things like that. So you've got a lot of people who have experience who can be, well, I'm assuming would be helpful,
right? And
in
add
getting
to
things
that,
together.
Add to that the YMCA.
Oh, and certainly, yeah. Certainly.
Yeah. So, I think a great future in a short time is coming with all that. So
that's wonderful.
And I think there'll be room to add maybe one or two baseball diamonds. Also, we're buying more property than we had initially planned.
Okay, that's great. Now let's take a break, and we want to come back and talk about the movie business for a little bit. Okay?
All right. We've got something to talk about.
All righty. All right. We're back. Do you want to mention that just a little bit?
Sure. Yes. We've been, our, county, and actually we, it's basically two counties that, we're working together to solve some of the social issues that are, prevalent in our area. Drugs, alcohol abuse, homelessness, and then, physical, you know, elder abuse, et cetera, and family type abuse, child abuse, et cetera. Just a lot of abuses, John.
I know.
But what we've found in bringing all of these groups and professionals together, and, you know, it's the hospitals that have to react to all of this, because the emergency rooms fill up with the problems of the day. And, you know, places like the Salvation Army, Hearts United, a lot of, you know, fire and police groups and this kind of thing. We all come together. We're meeting every other month and identifying the problems and looking at what resources are already available and what resources need to be found. And at our last meeting, we had Senator Turner and Representative Bourne, so that they're made aware, too, of what's happening and our efforts to mitigate it. So St. Francis Way has opened. We do have a place for people to go. It's a voluntary thing. And, you know, what they find is if somebody is to the point where they've identified that they need help, you got to get them help now before they change their mind. And so St. Francis Way is there for that. They will even provide transportation. If you basically contact our local police department, they will make sure you get there. And they believe that they're doing counseling. And they also do some medical treatment. And I just read today that the Magnuson Grand is now a private 86-bed treatment center, treatment facility. And I'm going to ask that group to come speak to our council at some meeting. And, it's just gotten way out of hand. And these people need help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is definitely true.
Now let's get something with some good news.
All righty. Okay. All righty.
All right. The movie business is back, John.
I'm glad to hear it.
It's back with a force, and the force is Spider-Man at this point.
Yeah.
We open Sing 2 tonight. I think that's going to be huge for families. You know, we do ask that you enter with a mask and you're in the lobby with a mask, but it's hard to eat your popcorn when you're seated, but we're doing extra cleanup, and I heard you say you really enjoyed Spider-Man.
I did.
I've heard it's the best Marvel movie for maybe ever, but
years. It was really,
yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, that's
really, really good.
People are walking out saying, "Wow, that was really good." And there's been some bombs. Gone with the Wind. West Side Story was a real bomb. I don't know that can be entirely blamed on the movie itself, and you know, I'm not really high on musicals, but I think the older community is still a little shy about going out in the crowd.
Yeah,
and that's what would that movie would draw. Again, families tonight, and I think a lot of people are going to be seeing Spider-Man another time. So, but it's very successful in both of my theaters, and it's good to. My employees are so excited to have something to do.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know? I can imagine.
Yeah.
Now, the other movie that starts tonight, of course, is The Matrix Resurrection.
Yes.
And my question is, of course, there were people who were as involved with The Matrix movies as some people were with Star Wars or the Marvel Comic Universe.
Yeah.
Are they ready to come back and jump back in? We have Keanu Reeves again.
Yes.
We have Lawrence Fishburne again. So are they going to jump in to see that one? Or are they going to say, oh, we've been there and done that?
It's an opportune time. It's Christmas, and there's, you know, a lot of people are off work and visiting family, and maybe you want to get away from family after a while and, you know, go out. As you said, that's been a tradition for you to go go to the movies on Christmas time. And a lot of people have had that tradition in the past. Now, whether they're going to continue it or not, I don't know. But the CEO of AMC was I forget where I saw it. I guess I saw it on the Internet. But he was saying, you know, now we've proven that, you know, the big screen is the place to put these movies. Keep it up. Don't take these movies away from us. And the film distributors have warehouses full of these movies at this point that they've just been waiting to release.
I know.
You know, I mean, you've heard of Avatar. There's four avatars in the library right now. They've all been filmed, and they're going to release them every 2 years, starting, I believe, next Christmas time. And, of course, we've got Top Gun Maverick coming in May. That'll be a huge one. That's just a lot of good titles. And a lot
I saw a couple of other trailers that looked pretty good that are coming. Of course, The King's Man,
I think
is going to do really well.
There is
a few other sequels that I think that are probably in the works. I'm assuming that the Nobody movie with Bob Odenkirk is ripe for a sequel, like Taken was. And even Liam Neeson, who said, "I'm done," about 4 years ago, has made five more movies playing the same character.
No, I love his movies. But, what I'm noticing here, though, is there's an effort by these filmmakers now to go back to traditional releases. Like, there will be a well-promoted, I hope, romantic movie at Valentine's Day, you know, rather than a sequel of something, where you're killing zombies again. And that's what they need to concentrate on, what the people want, what the people are thinking about at the time, and what's going to entice them to go out and see a movie.
Sure. Oh, no, I agree. Now, you are privy to what's out there. What you're probably not privy to, because of the nature of the industry, is how soon you're going to get it or when it's going to be released.
Well, they're on a schedule, but that schedule is in flux at this point. And, there's really the big thing to consider here is the restrictions in New York and Los Angeles. If they further restrict crowds, then the distributors will start slowing down their releases again. They don't want to waste a release on a small crowd or not having those big markets available. So that's going to be critical to see, and I'm happy to hear about the new Pfizer pill and the fact that it's, I believe I heard that it will keep 90% of the people out of the hospital.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, wow. That's well overdue.
Well, certainly part of the reason that brought about the streaming, not totally, but part of the reasoning, was the fact that they were releasing some blockbusters into empty theaters. So I gotta recover that money somehow.
Right.
But
it was a band-aid because
it's terrible.
It's just not the true. It's just not what the movie can do. You know, when you're getting, in some places, $12 is $15 a ticket.
Yeah.
As opposed to streaming, you're paying $4.99 and giving it to eight members of your family besides. Yeah. I can't see where they're making any money. They need to get back to maybe a smaller window, but where we used to have a 90-day window before a DVD came out on a movie. They've reduced it to 45 now. We hope they don't go any more than that. But it could go down to 30. It could go day and date, like they've been doing.
Oh, boy. Now, let me ask you, DVD business. Is DVD business over? Are DVDs done, essentially? I mean, not everybody has great internet, in the rural areas.
Yes.
And you cannot stream a movie if it buffers every 45 seconds.
Well, that's good to know, because I'm adding streaming to both theaters. So.
Well, that's okay. That's not a bad thing, but you'll have good internet. In the rural areas, you won't.
Right. But to answer your question, I can see that happening. I can see it happening. But like I said, we're going to be adding it to our theaters just because it's probably the next thing coming. But I would have to not book a movie into a theater for a week in order to stream something that I'd also have to pay for if I'm selling tickets. But what it will give me is the ability to maybe, if we have another problem, whether it be a pandemic or God knows what's next, but I would be able to do gaming. You know, at four or five people with a game controller playing, you know, killing zombies and,
sure.
and playing Donkey Kong and Mario Kart on the big screen.
So. Now, did I understand you correctly? And if I'm wrong, please correct me because I've been wrong a lot in my life. When you say you're adding streaming, do you mean that at some point there may be the opportunity to put on the big screen something that's on Netflix or on Prime Video?
Yes. But
so,
again, I would have to get permission. It's all copyrighted.
Uh-huh.
The way the films work now is I have satellite reception. So if I get I got Spider-Man by satellite, and it automatically from the server downloads to each of my projectors. But I can't play that movie until I get what's called a key.
Okay.
At this point, previous, it came as an email, and we put it on a flash drive and then took it to each projector to enable that movie. Now the keys come automatic, and they go to the theaters. But I can't play it until that particular aspect is finished. So there is some security there. The streaming, they have found that, you know, they're seeing movies before they're released in the theaters. There's piracy.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, and there always has been. But I get a report from NATO, which is the National Association of Theater Owners, with the latest piracy and names of the theaters that it happened in. You know, whether they're filming with a camera and sound it's beyond my expertise, but piracy is a big issue. And, you know, there are places in the Orient that take advantage of that. So.
In Russia. I mean, there's an awful lot of pirated movies that are dubbed Russian that have the Russian sound. I see them. You know, I know they're out there. I see the trailers for them. But the bottom line is, it's not a very good quality. And I wish people would realize that every time a movie gets pirated, it makes the cost to you eventually go up.
Oh, sure.
Because, you know, it makes the movies, if the movie doesn't make the money, you know, they got to charge the theaters more. You know, your 65% you were talking about,
yeah.
If it goes to 80 because of piracy, how many theaters won't be available to show them anymore?
Yeah, worse than that, John, my popcorn oil went from $52 a 5-gallon pail to $173. My butter topping went from $20 for a 4-1 gallons to $52. And what that's got to do with the pandemic, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I guess it's because they can. But I haven't passed those costs on yet. I'm hoping they go back down and there's some sanity with it. But if not, you know, I've got to push those numbers again.
Well, you're still a far cry from $14 for a bag of popcorn and $9 for a soda. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Indie admission price is stable. So
that's true. So okay, we got Sing 2 and Matrix Resurrection this week. A hint on what's coming next week.
Oh, I'm hoping to get The Kingsman and the West Side Story will finally leave us. Another disappointment was Chosen Christmas that we fought hard to get.
Uh-huh.
And even had a sponsor that bought out a theater for Friday night, 160 seats, and we had 12 people show up. And I can't blame that all on the pandemic. I think there's just an apathy there that I don't know. I don't know. Everybody knows the story, but it had a different approach.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's like a sequel to a sequel to a sequel, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to, I don't know, Nightmare Alley. Is that maybe going to show up?
I'm hoping.
I'm hoping too.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I'm hoping people can remember their experience at Spider-Man and have seen the crowds and say, well, maybe it's okay to go again. And, yeah. And for a purpose, and you get your money's worth.
You betcha.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a few stinkers out there in the past year or so, and playing DVDs doesn't work. Sorry. We brought back Top Gun. It was like a ghost town. Maybe if we played it before Maverick, they'd see it.
Well, I appreciate you coming in. Good luck with everything you got going on.
To you.
Merry Christmas
Merry
to
Christmas,
you.
Merry Christmas, Litchfield.
You bet. We'll talk again soon. We'll be back in February, okay?
Okay, John. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Steve Doherty, and we are pretty much all caught up now.